Here we go. Hopefully Daniel will join us in a second. We are on Gittin Daf Yud Gimel Amid Aleph. Gittin Yud Gimel Amid Aleph 13a. We are recalling and reframing a conversation that happened between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim. If you remember, the Mishnah itself had a machlokas between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim about the kashas of a get, as you can imagine, but more specifically, the kashas of a get of a husband who wants to renege on the get. So the Chachamim were of the opinion that when it came to an Eved, so that's for sure a zchus, that if the owner of the slave gave a document of freedom to the messenger, then all of a sudden he's already freed. However, when it came to the document of a woman to get divorced, so then that is not going to be automatic, because it's not a good thing for her to get divorced. It's a bad thing. Once it's a bad thing, so then the messenger cannot automatically accept it on her behalf. And that's why even if the husband had given it to the messenger, the husband could still renege on it as long as she didn't get the document herself, because she hasn't yet accepted it, it hasn't taken hold. So then the Gemara told us that Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim had a machlokas not only about, to say that not only is it a bad thing for a wife to get a get, but it's also a bad thing for an Eved to get a document like that too. Right, is that what we were talking about? Yeah. So Rabbi Meir said, no, it's a bad thing. It's a chov hulo. This was on yesterday. It's a chov hulo, because if he was an Eved, welcome Henry, if he was an Eved and then all of a sudden became free, he would lose the opportunity to eat truma if his master was a Kohen. Is this yours?
No, that's...
Okay, I think Danny Freimark had put that down.
Did you hear?
Yeah, I think he's somewhere.
Sure he
I don't know where he went, but yeah. So the response to Rabbi Meir was, but the master is able to undo that at any time. And it's not, it's not that he's really losing out, because the Eved could lose that at any time, meaning the master is not really obligated to support him. So the last thing that we said at the bottom of Yud Beis Amud Beis was Rabbi Meir's theoretical response, meaning he said to them, he said to the Chachamim, and if you're going to tell me that it is also possible for the husband to throw the get to the woman and thereby, throw the get to the Eved and thereby already possible him from Truma, regardless of what he thinks about it, meaning it'll just be against his will. And he'll be, you know, without Truma, that could happen at any time. So then, Rabbi Meir's response was, right, he's responding to his own theoretical question, if you're going to tell me that the master could do this at any time, so what does it make a difference? If it could be against his will, I can just give it to the messenger, it'll happen at any time. So it's not true, because the Eved could run away. And if the Eved ran away, so he would still be allowed to have Truma. Right, that's the top of the daf. Uma ilu eved kohen shabarach ve'eshes kohen shemar da'abala halo ochlum betruma v'zeh enu ochel. V'zeh enu ochel. Right, once he gets the actual, we need a better word for this. For a freeing document. Is there a better word for that in the article or something?
Manumission is what they call it in English.
I was looking for a better word.
Emancipation.
Proclamation.
All right. Too many syllables.
Emancipation.
Freeing document. Get shichror. So then he would not be able to eat a truma. If he would run away, he'd be allowed to continue eating truma. If the woman would want to run away, she'd be allowed to keep eating truma. But the fact that he gave her this document makes him no longer able to have truma. And therefore, it's a chiyuv. It is not a zechiyah. That when the messenger gets, it's not a good thing for the Eved. And that's why Rabbi Meir holds that the messenger does not automatically accept the document of freedom for the slave. Says the Gemara, Shapir Kamar Lehu. That's a good response from Rabbi Meir. Chachamim, what are you going to say to that? So Amar Rav, Hainu Zekam Ahadri Levi Masnisin, Shmi Ibnei Shehu Kinyano. That's what it means when the Chacham said in our Mishnah that the reason the Eved can eat Truma, the reason that the Eved can eat Truma is not because of some kind of barter or some kind of deal, but rather Mishnei Shehu Kinyano. D'ibai shakil arba zuzim yitzrael pasalei kol echad yisei. Meaning that the freeing of the get, the freeing of the slave through the get, is not something which is just one of these deals that they get to decide, but it's just a, as I'm looking at it, it's just the result of the fact that he is a kinyan, the fact that he is the acquisition of the master. Welcome, Danny. Welcome back, Danny.
Good morning.
Good morning. So the Ibai, because we are at the top of 13a, we're almost at the Mishnah, hopefully.
Yes, thank you.
The Ibai, if the master wanted to disqualify him from eating truma, even when he ran away, and when he's not able to free him, so then he could get 4 zuz from somebody else and sell the Eved to that person. And thereby the Eved is at the whim of the master. There's nothing about the Eved's status which automatically guarantees him truma. The master could do what he wants at any time. And therefore, possibly, kol yechad yisei, the master could basically disqualify him from eating truma without the input of the Eved at all. So the point is that it's not a choice of the Eved like it is by a woman. The woman can decide. Well, I guess the woman also can be against her will.
The Eved doesn't have the option.
Yeah, the Eved doesn't have the option, but it's also not an automatic right that he has. It's just the resultant right that the master allows him to have truma after he's acquired. He could just as easily be acquired by somebody else. And once he's acquired by somebody else, he doesn't have that right anymore. So now the Gemara is going to go back and say, welcome to see Ulu Rebbe Meir, Tenach Eved Kohen. That makes sense for an Eved Kohen. Eved Yisrael, Ma'ikla Meimar. What about an Eved Kohen? According to Rebbe Meir.
An Eved Yisrael.
Right. What about an Eved Yisrael? Eved Kohen, fine, Rebbe Meir. At least you have a truma to hang your hat on to say that this is not as chus as the chiyah because he's losing truma. But an Eved Yisrael. An Eved Yisrael is not going to get truma in the first place. So then it's for sure a zechiyah for the slave to get free. So Amar Rabbi Shmuel bar Rabbi Yitzchak, Yonesh Masjido Shivcha Kananis. Oh, wow. Okay. I'm going to try to paint the picture here. The Eved gets the right of marrying a Shivcha Kananis as long as he's an Eved. Once, however, he's not an Eved, he's not allowed to just marry Shivcha Kananis. She's sort of off limits to him. We don't have to go into that halacha right now. But the point is that let's say the Eved was not the most eligible bachelor. You know, he's an Eved, and therefore his pickings are pretty slim. But at least as an Eved, he gets to choose from the pool of Shivcha Kananis women who others aren't able to choose from. So now the master is going to give him this get shift, or he's going to free him, and he's going to lose out on that pool of women. So that's what it's saying here, that it's a chiyuv by the fact that he's not able to have these women. Says Gemara, Adraba, what do you mean? Yeah, he can't marry the Shivcha Kananis. He can marry everybody else, right? Yes, you lost the chance to marry the 1%, but now you have the 99% at your disposal. So the Gemara says, no, avda behefkeira nichale. When it comes to the Eved,
I was going to say that your terminology of marriage to a Shivcha Kananis is not what.
Oh, so what does it say?
It's just having sexual intercourse.
Oh, yeah? Okay.
The ability to engage.
Okay.
Freely.
Right. He doesn't have to get married. He's not tied down. He's allowed to just cohabit with the Shivcha Kananis, I guess. But Zila Lei, Shchichale, Pritzale. Okay, I don't know what the syntax of this phrase is, but Avda Pesker, Nichale, Zilale, Shchichale, Upirtale, Upirtale. I mean, he likes all those negative descriptions, those are good for him. He likes that that freedom to just cohabit with the Chivcha Kanas, which he cannot do with other Das B'nai
sexual revolution.
B'nai Chorin. Yeah. All right, so that's why Rav Meir says he's losing that option. I don't know why he didn't start with that, because that's more universal, but okay. Says the Mishnah, Hare Ha Omer Tenu Get Zed Lishti. Someone who says, give the get to my wife, Shtar Shechra Zed Ladi, or this document to my slave, Umes, then he dies, before this messenger gets there, Lo Yiknu La'achar Misa. You cannot give either one of those after he dies. We actually saw this already last week sometime, test on the base. So says the Mishnah, Tana Mana Le'ishplonu Umes, when it comes to giving a gift, you can give a gift after death, once the messenger has already been sent. Because at that point, it's clear and obvious that it's a good thing for the guy to get that gift. But now we're going to have to figure out, what's the difference? Why is it, especially in light of the last Mishnah, why is it that we'll allow the gift to be given, but we're not going to allow the wife to be, or the Eved to be freed, according to the Chacham? Says the Gemara, Amar Yitzchak Bar Shmuel Bar Maratz Mishmei Derav, V'hu Tziburin U'munachin B'keren Zavis. The only time that the Mishnah says you're allowed to give it after death is when the money was already set aside. And therefore is already basically designated. If it's a Mayaskin, and what are we talking about? Elam of Bari, if we're talking about someone who's healthy, Ki Tziburin Mayavit, what's the matter if it's that it is piled up? Halo Mashach, if you're talking with somebody who's healthy, so someone who's healthy has to do a real acquisition. That's not a real acquisition, just put it in a pile somewhere. So if El Bishchiv Mira, maybe we're talking about someone who's on his deathbed, my area, Tzivurin, what does it mean that it's piled up? Ki ain't Tzivurin Nami, even if it's not piled up, and all he says is, give it to so-and-so, so that works. That when it comes to someone on his deathbed, when they say something, it's as if it's written and given over. So what does the piling up help? So Amrav Zvid La'olam Bibari. Really, we're talking about someone who's healthy. Uchdrav Huna Marav, Damarav Huna Marav. Minali Biyadacha, Minali Biyadcha. Tenei Lo Lefloni. Bimamad Shlashtan Kana. So if a person is healthy and he says to somebody, I've got $100, it's now yours.
It's in his position, in his possession.
Oh, you have my money. Okay. You have, my money is in your possession, not to say that it's yours now, but to say that even though you have it, it's mine. So now give it to me. Give it to the messenger.
And give it, he's the messenger. No? Or he's giving
it says mana li yadcha. So I assume it's the actual owner. And now we're saying tenehu lo leploni. Low the plony ice. Interesting phrase.
Give it to somebody.
Sine the plony, I think, means to give it to like a messenger, no? A middleman?
Give it to so-and-so.
Give it to so-and-so, yeah. I think we're talking to the person that owes him the money. And we're talking, the person who is owed the money is the one talking. So I think the two parties are talking to each other, and one of them says to the other, give it to so-and-so, and so I can get my money back. So if that was done, b'mamad shlashtan, when all three of them were together, the person who's owed the money, the person who owes the money, and the one who's going to accept it upon him.
Is this a debt or is this a matana?
I think it's a debt that he's turning into a matana, maybe. Meaning, A owes B, and B wants the gift to C. So B says to A, you know that $100 you owe me? Just give it to C. I want to give him a gift, something like that. So then, the Mamad Shlashtan, if they're all three standing together, Kana.
It's a good deal.
Even though he hasn't given it to him yet. Even though there's no actual transaction also. So then because they're all present and witnessing this agreement, so then that's considered like you already got it. So why is it Tziburin? Presumably because...
Why
does it have to be piled up? And that's because Rav holds of some kind of I'm I'm not really sure.
I mean, maybe Pavlov just means set aside.
Like, yeah, that's presumably what it means. I'm not sure why that's necessary based on the verbiage of this, right? So this statement. This statement has nothing to do with it.
He's talking about a case where the Mamash Lashon case.
Right, so he's talking about Mamash Lashon, but the Mamash Lashon case doesn't need to be piled up.
Mm-hmm.
It could be wherever it is.
I think the point is that he doesn't even have to, like, move it.
Right, no, there's no transaction necessary, for sure. Okay, so maybe Tziburin is a non-literal phrase. Maybe it just means, like, the money is somewhere. It doesn't have to be, I don't know. It sounds
doesn't,
like it's
designated.
Yes, yeah, I don't know. Rav Papa Amar La'olam B'Shtizmera. Rav Papa says, no, it's by Shchmira. So Rav says that it was really by a Tziburin case, or a Mamash Lashon case. Rav Papa is now saying, no, it's really by a Shchmira case, when a person's on their deathbed. And as we said before, it doesn't have to be piled up in any way for a Shchmira to take hold, instruction to take hold. It's a different statement of Rav. Right? Rav Huna was saying that one opinion of Rav teaches us that it's a Mamash Lashon. Now, Rav Papa is saying, no, it's a different basis that's also from Rav. If someone on deathbed says, give to so-and-so from my possessions, manazeh nosnin, if he says the words manazeh, this money, so then you give it. But manastam, just mana, so a nosnin, so you don't give. Chayshin Hashem, mana kavor kamar. Maybe he's referring to a mana which is hidden in the ground, and therefore we can't assume that he's referring to any part of any specific money. I don't know, that's
so,
kind of strange.
No, I think what they mean is, if he designates it, we give it.
Right.
If he doesn't designate it, then...
We're worried, any money that we would get to somebody else.
But he actually had something else in mind.
Right.
And then you can't just give him spam.
No. Right, you can't just give him some other money of his, because maybe that's not what he was referring to. Okay, it's an interesting phrase, an interesting idea. So now we're saying that our case of Tziburin is where he's referring to.
Somebody
he doesn't say manazeh, but he says, give the 100 bucks. Lo and behold, there's a pile of 100 bucks designated for this guy. That kind of thing. However, we don't pasuk like that, but that's what our mission is going according to. Rav Papa, my time, alo amak Rav Zvid. Why is the Rav Papa so against Rav Zvid mamash lashdan option? Kasav Rav Papa thought, ki amar Rav, when Rav said that a person is able to give over money to a third party, that's loshna b'milvev, loshna b'kadon. That doesn't make a difference whether it was a regular loan or if it was a collateral. Meaning, let's say he's got something and it's worth the exact amount, or it is a gift that he wants to give somebody, he wants to re-gift it to somebody else. You know, I don't know what the situation would be.
One's a loan, one's a re-gifting. It was never gifted.
It was either a loan or it was a collateral. And therefore what? I guess the piled up is a pikadon, right? If I give somebody $100 as a loan, so they could take that money and use it however they want. And therefore, maybe that's, you know, part of my groceries. Maybe it's part of my dining room table. Maybe it's, you know, who knows what he used that money for. But if I gave somebody $100 as a collateral, you can't use that money, right? That collateral is basically on a hold until that guy does whatever he needs to do. I don't know, you get collateral until you pay your dues or something like that. I don't know. And then the guy did whatever he had to do. So now the guy who was holding the collateral, in the case that guy B didn't pay his other thing back or didn't do what he needed to do, so that guy is now holding a collateral he has to give back. So guy B says to guy A, you know that collateral that's been sitting in your house, it's in a specific spot, it's tziburin, it's piled up, it's designated as my collateral, just give it to so-and-so. So that's what we were claiming before from Rav Huna's understanding of Rav. But now Rav Papa's come along and say, no, Rav believes that it's all the same, regardless of whether it's a loan or if it's a collateral. In which case, it doesn't make sense to attribute our Mishnah to Tiburin based on Rav's halacha, because Rav's halacha doesn't require Tiburin.
And we don't worry if there's something buried somewhere.
That was the other opinion. That was a Shkiv Mira case. But yeah, I guess that's also something we're not worried about. Because again, the loan doesn't require a designated sort of stash of money somewhere. So Rav Zvid, my time of Lamech Rav Papa. Rav Zvid, why don't you say like Rav Papa? Rav Papa was the one who said that it was about the Shkiv Mira, about the buried money situation. So why doesn't Rav Zvid, who says it's about the Mama Shlashtan, why doesn't he say, I keep saying Rav Huna, it was Rav Zvid, why doesn't he say like Rav Papa? So it says, the Gemara, lo mitok b'masnisin b'shkiv mirah. You can't say it's about someone on their deathbed. Why? Mimai. Mi dekatani ha'omar tinu get zed li'ishti yushtar shikhra zed la'avdi umes. Lo yitnu la'acharmisa, because the beginning of the Mishnah said, if the person was trying to give to his wife or his Eved, something that would sort of release them, so then it wouldn't work if he died. So Talmud makes the reason that it wouldn't work is because he died. The implication would be that the Hamachayim knows, but if he was alive, he would be able to give. And the only reason it would work is because Talmud Amar Tanu. The only reason that it works, because he said the word Tanu, which we had seen yesterday, was sort of like a magic word, that if someone who's alive says the word Tanu, then it's automatic. Hello, Amar Lo Tanu. Hello, Amar Tanu. If he didn't say that magic word, so in Osnim, he would not give. It would not work even after he said that. Ushchiv Meira, when it comes to someone who's on the deathbed, Afa Gavs Hello, Amar Tanu. Even if they didn't say the word Tanu, Nosnim. And therefore, the implication of the Mishnah is wrong because the only reason it works, or the implication is the only reason it would work if he hadn't died, is because of the word tenu. And we know that halacha about the word tenu doesn't apply to shchiv meiras. That's not a foolproof objection, but that works. Stitznan, as the Mishnah tells us in Gittin, Das Hamechayim and Abayz, Barishana Hayo Omrim Hayosi Bekolar. Someone who's going away in what, chains of some kind?
A neck chain.
I mean, he's going to die. The Amar Kisu get lishti, and he says, write a get for my wife, so she's not considered a almana, she's instead considered a grusha. I'm not.
Which is a better one? Why would a divorced person be better than an almana?
I'm not sure.
That was, if somebody gets divorced, you would think it's two or three strikes against them. Amana, she has no brera.
Yeah,
because
I'm trying to think of her.
Huh?
Anything to do with inheritance?
Well, Amana, she would inherit.
Right. So now Amana would inherit.
Taking that away. Maybe that's what he's trying to do.
He gets the ksuba.
Maybe he didn't like her.
Yeah, maybe he's trying to prevent the money from getting to her.
But if he divorces her, doesn't he have to give her the ksuba?
Yeah, the ksuba is a fixed amount, as opposed to inheritance, which is potentially a lot more.
Big money.
Yibam, it would release her from any yibam requirements. That's true.
Okay, that would make sense.
Yeah.
That's what Rashi says.
Oh, that's what Rashi says? Okay.
Now I know why it makes sense.
Okay. Kedishal tizkak liyabim. Yeah, or liyabim. You should do it. Chazru Lomar, however, then they changed and said, Af Hamefarish. This is someone going out to sea. Someone's going out in the caravan. So Rabbi Shimon Shizuri Omar Af Hamesukan. And Rabbi Shimon Shizuri said, even if he was sort of going to die soon. And that's referring to the person who doesn't say the word tenu. Right? Afa Mesukan, even if he says, kisu get lishti, but doesn't say tenu, it would still work. So yisu with yitnu. For today's legal holiday shiur, I was debating between different topics one of the topics I was debating talking about, which I'm not talking about, because it's pretty, you know, open and shut case, is a guy who lived in America in the early 1800s, and they found out that he actually had a wife and kids back in Europe, and they kicked him out of the shul.
Right.
Pretty open and shut case. Not much to talk about. Interesting, but not much to talk about. To the right. So that's this guy. He's going out to sea, and he says, oh, by the way, I might not come back for a while. Give a get to my wife. All right? So probably should have taken care of it beforehand, but okay.
I mean, there's a whole discussion about that, where it's a conditional
get. Yeah, right. So we're going to talk about that later.
Wouldn't that happen also if for a soldier that goes out to war?
Yeah, for sure. That's Mesukan, I think.
Yeah.
Okay. I would think that's included in Mesukan, yeah. Mask is Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi is now responding to Rav Zvid. Rav Zvid is claiming that the implication of the Mishnah is teaches us that it must not be referring to a Shchivmira, for Shchivmira doesn't require the word Tinu. The Mask of the Rav Ashi, my name Allah, and Demas Nisin, Rabbi Shimon Shazuri, how do you know that our Mishnah is going according to the opinion of Rabbi Shimon Shazuri, who just said that if a person is on their deathbed and says, Kisu get lishti, that we would give it, even without the word Tinu. How do you know that? The Omer Rabbanan he, it could be the Rabbanan. Meaning there's nothing absolutely telling us that it's in accordance with Rabbi Shimon Shazuri, that you don't need to say the word Tanu. Maybe it's according to the other version that says you do need to say the word Tanu, even if it's a Shkamira. So it says Mar Gufa Amarav Hunamarav. Minali, oh, so that was the end of that conversation. Yeah, it's not clear. Rabbi Zvid's proof, as I said before, is not foolproof. And it's not absolutely the case of the Mishnah. Gufa Amarav Hunamarav Minali Biarcha Tanelo Laploni. So we've got, again, Guy A owes Guy B, and Guy B says, just give it to C. The Ma'amad Shlashtan, Kana. Then it works. Amar Rav, Mr. Mil say the Rav of Pikadron. Makes sense that the words of Rav are talking only about a Pikadron, right? This is what we were talking about before, that Rav Papa responded, no, Rav's understanding is that works, Ma'amad Shlashtan works, with a Pikadron and with a Lova, right? With a collateral and with a loan. So Rav is now saying, no, it only works with collateral. Allow the mil velel, but when it comes to a loan, it would not work. V'halokim, which is basically it, I swear. Amar Rav, I feel the milva. It makes sense that it would require, it makes sense that Rav's opinion is only by a pikadon, but I swear to you, I'm pretty sure, I'm absolutely sure that he said even a loan. I think that's what it's saying, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's Marnami. Amar Shmuel Mishmei Delevi Milveli Biyadcha Tenelo Leplon B'Mamad Shlashtan Kana. So we have another Braisa which basically says as much, that Shmuel quotes from Levi, the same halacha would apply to a lova. Now that doesn't necessarily mean that Rav would say that. Rav and Shmuel argued all the time, but either way, that's another proof that it works. This Mamad Shlashtan works with a loan. So it's Hamamai. Why is it that it works even by a loan? Because the money is not—it's not already established. It's not already designated. It's just the guy has to owe him something. It's sort of completely liquid. So Amar Meimar Nasa Kaomar Lo B'Shas Matan Maos. We make it as if he had it at the time that the money was given over. Sha'avna Loch Lazidach L'Chol D'Asimach Masach. Yeah, basically, when Guy B gave the money to Guy A, which now was back, he basically, here's $100. You should know that if anybody ever needs this money, it'll go to them. So meaning there was a manazeh there. There was physical, this designated money already, and that's how we can still do it, even though the money's not in front of us, right in front of us now, because it was retroactively already designated.
Even though the normal loan process would potentially include that, but we're saying he actually has to state it implicitly?
Well, no, I think we're saying that implicitly assume that. Ki omer lo. Na'asa ki omer lo. It's as if he says it.
So is this like a brera thing?
I don't think, exactly. If it was a brera, I feel like the Gemara would say, no, you can't do brera. Hmm. Or at least have a discussion. Here it sounds like it's not a brera because we assume that it's already from the beforehand. You know, when somebody comes back, there's a condition on this money.
It's just the normal
possibility. Yeah. We're not looking at it. We're not looking at it retroactively. We're saying that that's what happened retroactively. So Amar Le Rav Ashi Lameimar Ela Me'ata, If that's the case, meaning that it's all really dependent on that first initial giving over of the loan, so then what about people that weren't there at the beginning of the loan? In which case you could not have preemptively said, if somebody comes along, this money is theirs, because there is no there. There, T-H-E-I-R. Right? Then they don't exist. Even a mayor who holds, you could designate something which has not yet come, right? Like fruit that haven't grown yet. So hani mili l'davar sheyesh nevo olam. That's for the thing that already exists. L'davar, that it should be given over to somebody who already exists. About l'davar sheyesh nevo olam lo. But something which is not yet.
But the person who's going to get the money is not in existence.
Right, yet. The person who's going to get it is not in existence. That's the difference. Yeah, I think the first ledavar is referring to the product, and the second ledavar is referring to...
In the first case...
Meaning when he says the words makta davar shalob alolam, that davar is referring to the product, the produce, or whatever.
Right.
And the second time, Hani Mili, Lidavar is referring to not the product, but the people that are going to get it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so there we have, so then we have, to clarify the statement of Rav, or the concept that we were saying was according to Rav, that you could technically give over a loan from guy A to guy C,
because it's implicit.
Because it's implicitly the case that he conditionalized the money originally, but now we're saying he can't do that if it's going to a person that didn't exist yet. So Ela Amar Rav Ashi. So now Rav Ashi is saying, no, it must be different. Ela Amar Rav Ashi, that Mama Shlashdan by a loan works a different way, not based on the initial sort of condition, but rather Bahahi Hana. From the fact that he benefits from Bahihana, with this benefit, that the borrower now benefits
an extension of the loan.
To Kamish Tanyale, because through this statement, give it to so-and-so, give it to guy C, he's changing it from an old, sort of, I guess, a due loan, or it's close by the loan, Lamil v'chadasha, to a new loan, which is, I guess, gives him a little more time. That depends on what he said, no? Yeah, Rav Chanan Wasserman points this out apparently. Now, what do you mean? He could ask for that loan to be given over at the same time. He said, but typically that's not how it works. Typically, if he's asking something else of the person, so he's going to give him a little more time. I know I told you to get me the money back, but give it to so-and-so by a later date, something like that. I guess that's just a practicality. You know, I don't need the money anymore. Yeah. So then he's going to, meaning if the money wasn't readily available, we would be worried about that. But now that the borrower benefits from this new arrangement, so even if he doesn't have the money, he'll agree to it. And if we were forcing him, we wouldn't be able to force him because the money isn't already designated for guy C. But now that the guy actually likes that deal, he's going to accept it. Once he accepts it, it doesn't matter if we have the money designated or not.
Is there a rule here if you have a loan and you don't designate when it's due? Is there a certain time?
I think 30 days typically is what we say.
So maybe that's the implication here. So
you get another 30.
An automatic.
Oh, that's an interesting, whether that's automatic, I don't know. But yeah. Any stopping points? Amalei Rav LeRavacha.
Right before that, yeah.
What are we up to? I'm really like Huna. Okay, let's do that. You tell me what we're up to, what we get there. So Amar Le Huna Mar Bere Derev Nechemya Leravashi El Meata. If that's the case, that the guy is going to accept the deal because it gives him more time, could go and Hani Debe Bar El Yashiv Dechafse the Shakli Altar. These people of El Yashiv that are strong. And they don't like waiting? These like loan sharks?
They tie up the debtor and extract payment from promptly when the debt is due.
Okay. It's like, what's Tony Soprano over here?
Mm-hmm. They strongly suggest payment.
So then Hachanavi Zilokanu. So then it wouldn't work, meaning they're not going to give him extra time. That was the obvious response, right? Meaning that, yeah, that works if the guy's willing to give him more time, but he doesn't have to give him more time. So the Chitim HaChanev is going to tell me, yeah, you're right, that's not going to be Kona. That's not going to be good enough to give it to Guy C. So Imkein, Asat is Varech L'Shirin, then you're basically, you know, you're going to pick and choose. Is this the type of guy, is this the type of situation with the kind of the Chachamim works or it doesn't work? And every time you have to figure it out. We have to figure out whether the borrower really, you know, benefits from the extra time or not. So Ella Amar Marzutra Hani Tlas Mile Shavini Rabbana Kihokasa Blotama. There were three things that the Rabbanan in these types of cases established without reason. As if they were Halakha Moshe Sinai. They're not Halakha Moshe Sinai, but they were established regardless. Chada Ha. One is this, that when it comes to three people deciding who gets the, you know, to give it to this guy C, so that works. Someone who gives all of his money to his wife doesn't make her the actual inheritor if they have children, but rather she's just the trustee, if you will, of all the money. And the last one, Damer of Chananya Hamasi Isha Levinel Gadol Bavayas Kina'o. Hamasi Isha Livno Gadol Bebayas. What does this mean?
He acquires
a house.
A special wedding house.
And he gives it to them as a gift?
It says the son, he automatically gets it without, you know, without the need for a
continuance of some sort. So that the child gets the house, even though the father didn't say anything. That's the kind of, I'm not sure what the reason of that is, and that's the whole point. These three things don't have any reasons associated with them. They're just that kind of what the rabbis instituted. Shkaya.